I want to consider with you again this morning the great Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. This is a beautiful portion of Scripture. We have mentioned a number of times that this is a psalm that is often the earliest portion of Scripture learned in childhood, and it is sometimes the last portion of Scripture that a person ever hears before they pass away. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David here speaks of a range of things that are the blessings of God to him. He talks about the Lord making him to lie down in green pastures, literally pastures of tender grass. The Lord is our feeder. The word shepherd in the first verse actually indicates pastor or feeder. The Lord is my feeder. The Lord is the one who looks after me in that way. He makes me to lie down in pastures of tender grass where I might feed. But not only does the Lord feed the sheep, He leads the sheep. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He even leads the sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. But they don't need to be afraid, because when the shepherd is there, all is well. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In verse number 5, he talks about the Lord's provision for him as his sheep at the table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Others can look on and see the goodness of God to the sheep as he provides a table spread for them. Then he says, Thou anointest my head with oil, which may be a reference to a custom at the Eastern feast, when oftentimes coming in from your travels, a host would pour ointment, beautiful fragrance upon your head. And then he would fill a cup with some cordial to overflowing, so that the guest could say, My cup runneth over. And even in that, we are reminded of the blessings of God to us as believers. The Lord not only fills our cup, but it's overflowing. He gives us more even than we need. And that leads us into the final verse. Because here in verse number 6, David, the psalmist, is anticipating future blessings while he is rejoicing in past blessings and present blessings. Surely, without any doubt, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are words of great assurance. This is not a man who's wondering what's going to happen to him in future. But he has the absolute knowledge, the sure and certain knowledge, that the Lord is going to be with him, that the blessings of God will attend him, and he's going to dwell forever in the Lord's house. And it's wonderful to be able to say that, to know that you're the Lord's, to be able to say with verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not only the shepherd, he's not only the good shepherd and the chief shepherd and the great shepherd of the sheep, but he's my shepherd. And therefore, I'm going to know his goodness and his mercy every day that I live, and on out into the endless ages of eternity, where I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's anticipation of future blessing here is to be seen in the following. First of all, I want you to see here the attributes promised. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. In Psalm 145, verse 9, the same writer, David, says, The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Now that's a statement of what is often called common grace. All men, without exception, and I mean without exception, are to some degree and measure recipients of God's mercy and God's goodness. The very fact that God doesn't put sinners into hell right away is an indication of His goodness and His mercy to them. The Lord is long-suffering, even to the wicked. But notice here that the Lord is good to all. Wasn't it the Lord Jesus who said in Matthew chapter 5 that God makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and makes His rain to fall on the head of the just and on the unjust? That's common grace. I've heard men speak as though those that are not saved are recipients of such goodness inadvertently, just as a matter of because they're on the same planet, they're on the same earth as believers. They just happen to share in those blessings because the blessings are poured out on believers and they just happen to be there with them and share inadvertently in those. Well, that's not true. That isn't the case. Because if you read what the Lord Jesus said, He said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That, it means in order that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. In other words, you're to be like God is. Well, what does God do? For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So the Lord deliberately makes the same sun that rises on the head of the good to rise on the head of the evil. The Lord is good to all. And this is part of the condemnation of men in the end. Because God has been so good to them, how have they treated the Lord in return? Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now these two attributes have been described as the two guardian angels of every Christian. Messengers of God that attend His people on their journey to heaven. And there's no doubt the psalmist here is thinking particularly of the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy to him and to other believers like him. When you think about it, goodness and mercy are both attributes of God Himself. Do you know that the word God is from an old Anglo-Saxon word which literally means the good? So the very name God suggests His goodness. But the Bible speaks of this quality, of this attribute of God, for example, here in the Psalms, in Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. How great is Thy goodness? God is good. He's good all the time. All the time God is good. In Psalm 52 and verse 1, the psalmist further says, why boastest thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. And then in Psalm 65, verse 11, he goes on, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. God promises to follow His people with goodness. But not only do we read here of the goodness of the Lord, there's also His mercy. And once again, the psalmist speaks of this over and over and over again. The mercy of God. Psalm 52, for example, verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I trust in the mercy of God. Once again, Psalm 103. In that beautiful psalm in verse 17, it refers to the mercy of the Lord, which is, and I quote, from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. The mercy of the Lord is from eternity to eternity, as far as the believer is concerned. And then, of course, you have Psalm 108 and verse 4. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. The mercy of God is so great. The mercy of God endureth forever. If you were to read Psalm 136, you will see there that there's a constant refrain. At the end of each of the verses, we read, for his mercy endureth forever. We're to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. There's the goodness of God. Psalm 136, verse 1. Surely goodness, he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. There's the mercy of the Lord. So the goodness of God, the mercy of the Lord, are always spoken of as being together. His mercy endureth forever. Just read down through Psalm 136 over and over and over again. It's repeated. For his mercy endureth forever. And the word of God furthermore assures us that he is rich in mercy, that he delighteth in mercy. And God is referred to in 2 Corinthians in the chapter 1 as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The Lord is good and the Lord is merciful. Now notice how the two are promised together. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's not just goodness, because we need mercy as well. And both of these are linked together in the purpose of God. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon once said, goodness supplies our needs, and mercy blots out our sins. Goodness supplies our needs. Mercy blots out our sins. Now there's a reference to goodness in one of the Psalms. It's Psalm 33, verse 5. But in that particular instance, the word translated goodness is given an alternate rendering in the margin. You can look at it if you have a marginal reference in the middle of your authorized version, down the middle of the page. Perhaps it will show this. In Psalm 33, verse 5, we read, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. But in the margin, it says, or mercy. So these are, in a sense, interchangeable qualities. The two, you see, are inseparable. Surely goodness and mercy. And again, I could quote Psalm 100, the old 100th, as we often refer to it, in verse 5. For the Lord is good. There it is, the goodness of God. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And that's an interesting thought. They follow us. They come behind. You may know that in the East, the shepherd always goes ahead of the sheep. He doesn't follow behind. He leads the sheep. And of course, Psalm 23 shows us this very clearly in the verses that we've already noted. In verses 2 and 3, it says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. In other words, he goes before. He goes ahead of the sheep. But here we have goodness and mercy that follow all the days of our life. These blessings follow God's child everywhere. They have been referred to as the sheepdogs bringing up the rear. Goodness and mercy that follow us all the days of our lives. When you look at the life of David, there were those that followed him through his life who were enemies of his. He was pursued like an animal by Saul, and relentlessly he was sought for that they might do him harm. And he often speaks about his enemies following him. But here he's not talking about the enemies following him. He sees God's goodness and mercy guarding him from danger. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And some of us this morning can testify to the truth of this already in our lives, that goodness and mercy have followed us everywhere that we've gone. The attributes promised. As well as this, we can speak of the abiding protection. And when I say the abiding protection, it is in these words, all the days of my life. And that means each and every day. Now, we all know what it's like to have a good day, and maybe more often not to have a good day. And sometimes a person will excuse some behavior or something that they've said to you by saying, I'm sorry, I'm just not having a good day. Right? It happens. I'm just not having a good day. And I suppose it's true, the older you get, the more of those there are. I'm not having a good day. I maybe don't feel so great. And maybe don't look so great either. But listen, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just some days, not just the good days, not just the bad days, but each and every day. Now, not every day is the same. Not every day brings the same experiences or the same outcomes. Some days are really dark days. Other days are really bright days. Some are wintry days. Some are warm days. But the Lord never changes. Oh, the consistency of God's goodness and mercy. And I think as a Christian, there are times when you see the face of the shepherd more clearly. I'm not talking about literally seeing him. Paul dealt with that. He said, now we know Christ no more after the flesh. So when somebody tells you, oh, I saw Jesus, you can tell them, I think you had too much to eat last night. That's probably what it was. The Bible doesn't talk about seeing the Lord in this way. It actually talks about when he comes again, we shall see him face to face. And we shall see him as he is. We will. And the hymn puts it this way, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. To see him, what a wonderful thing that will be. To see the Lord. I've often mentioned one of the congregants in my church, my first church, Mount Marion, who was blind from birth. She never had seen anything. And I know I've told this before, but I love telling it. One day she got all excited after church, and I didn't know what was wrong, but she used to get, when she was excited, her hands would go like this. And she said, Pastor, I need to tell you something. I said, Henrietta, what is it? She said, I've been thinking. She said, I have the advantage over you. I thought, well, I'm sure a lot of people could say that. Oh, she said, there's something that I have that you don't have. And it's this. She said, you're not blind, right? No, I can see everything. She said, I've never seen anything. I never have seen anything. I've been blind since birth. She said, so you've seen a lot of different faces. You've seen a lot of different people and a lot of different things. But she said, when I get to heaven, the Lord's going to give me my sight. And the first thing I'm going to see ever is the face of Jesus. And I just thought, wow. That's one of the most unbelievable things I'd ever heard. It, as you would say, it blew me away. It affected me the rest of that day. And I thought to myself, what a tremendous insight that was. And it's true. It's true. She will see the Lord. And that'll be the first face that she's ever seen. What a testimony. So she's looking at something that everybody else thinks is a negative. And for her, that's a huge positive. I will see Jesus. But every believer will see Jesus face to face. Now, we don't see him today, literally. But we do see him by faith. And there are those times when we see the shepherd's face more clearly. And there are other times when it's like the Lord is behind a cloud. And we're not aware, as perhaps we would want to be, of His presence. And you know, that's not a fault necessarily in you. The devil loves to torment God's people with thoughts like that. Well, you know, you're not conscious of the Lord's presence. Maybe you're not even saved. That's how he likes to torment the people of God. Well, I think of the patriarch Job. And what does God say of Job? Well, the testimony given right at the start of the book of Job is, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. It means he was mature, well-rounded, and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So this was not a wicked man. This was a good man. This was a man who was following the Lord. And yet the same man said, Job chapter 23, verse 8 and verse 9. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Now think of this man's experience. He wants to see the Lord's face, as it were, in communion, and he's not seeing the Lord's face. In any direction that he looks, in any direction that he goes, it's like the Lord is not there. And yet he's able to say in the next verse, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, even though I'm not conscious of seeing the Lord, I'm going on with God anyway. I'm continuing to serve the Lord. There are times like that. When we're not aware of the Lord's presence, but brother, sister, he's there all the time. He's still there. How often can we cast our minds back to childhood, and it's dark, and we get a little bit scared of something in the dark, and we hear that voice from mom or dad, it's okay, dear, I'm here. I'm here. Now we can't see, but we can hear that voice and we're assured. Or maybe it's just a touch in the dark. I'm here. And that's how the Lord deals with his people. There are times when it's really dark in our lives. We have hard times. We have difficult things to face. But the Lord is always there, because goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Every single day. You know, some believers have to deal with deep depression. I want to tell you something. There are some folks who say the most foolish things to folks who are depressed. I had a very good friend who used to really be in a dark place a lot of times in his life. And he said to me, one of the worst things that a Christian would say to him is, pull yourself together. Pull yourself together. He said, that was my problem. I couldn't pull myself together. There was no possible way that I could do that. He said, so all that did was add to my pain. It just made it worse. And people sometimes, I think, would be better to say nothing as to say some of the things that they say, because they just don't get it. They just don't understand. But someone who's ever suffered depression, C.H. Spurgeon used to suffer terribly from depression. And it was linked to a physical condition that he had. But he spoke of that many times when he was in a very, very dark place. And when you're in a place like that, it's really difficult to get comfort from anything. But I want to tell you, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it, goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life. Even in days of deep depression or discouragement or death, bereavement, his goodness and mercy are with us. There will never be a time when those two guardian angels, so to speak, or those two sheepdogs will ever forsake us. Oh, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Listen to the words of Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What wonderful promises these are. Grace will be given for each and every day of life's pilgrimage. There's a promise that is a beautiful word for the people of God. The Lord gave that promise in Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. When He was giving these various blessings, He was speaking to Asher. And He said, Deuteronomy 33, 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days. That means whether it be a good day or a bad day. As thy days, whatever the day might be, so shall thy strength be. The Lord will give you the strength for that day. Didn't He say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's the abiding protection and the attributes promised. And there's the assurance provided. The assurance provided here is in the word that begins the verse, surely. Surely. And you'll notice that the word shall is used there. And then there's the response as well from His own heart, and I will dwell. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's assurance. This is not somebody who's hoping so. This is not somebody who just thinks that it might happen. But there's an assurance provided that He's able to express here. Surely, no doubt about it, we have the Word of God for it. Let me tell you, assurance is a wonderful thing. And it's something that we as believers can all have and should all seek after. Assurance. The knowledge that this is so. Now, why was David so sure concerning the future? Why was he so sure? Why could he speak in this way? Was this just bravado? You know, the kind of thing where there's a little boy and he's out and there's a shortcut home and it's through the cemetery. But he would rather not go that way. He's a little bit scared, but he knows that's the quickest way home. So as he's running through this cemetery, he's whistling or singing at the top of his voice. He's trying to convince himself that everything's okay. There's nothing to be afraid of. But he's actually inside breaking up with fear. He's scared. That's not the psalmist here. This is not someone whistling in the dark or in the cemetery. When he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, he really believes it. Now, why does he believe that? Well, for one thing, he was so sure concerning the future that goodness and mercy would never go away from him because he could recall all God's goodness and mercy to him in the past. This man has lived long enough to know that God has always been faithful, that God never changes. And therefore, if the Lord had already been good and gracious in his life, if he'd already known the goodness and mercy of the Lord before, he would continue to know the goodness and mercy of the Lord. Do you ever see that text in the Old Testament, hitherto hath the Lord helped us? When Spurgeon was talking about that verse, he said it's actually tantamount to a promise. Because if it's true that hitherto, up until now, the Lord has helped us, then the same one who has helped us up until now will continue to help us. He's never going to leave us. If he has once been there for us, he will always be there for us. So recalling the goodness and mercy of God to you in the past is tantamount to a promise for the future, because the Lord never changes. Look back over your life, Christian. Think about some crisis that you faced. Think about some hard time or some situation that you were in and you could see no way out of it. And you prayed and you asked the Lord to intervene, and He did intervene. And He answered prayer in a remarkable way, in a miraculous way even. Well, can you not take that? Can you not take that as a promise for what God will do in the future? Why would the Lord deliver you in the past and then sometime in the future just leave you high and dry? It's not going to happen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. The thought is, it shall continue to follow me all the days of my life. The Lord who has been there for us in the past, He never changes. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If the Lord has been good and gracious, He will always be good and gracious to His people. There was the past. This was the source of David's assurance. But there wasn't only the past. There was the prospect. He had the promise of God. He had the word of a God who is faithful, and so do we. And let me show you the word that the Lord gave to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5, he says this: although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow. An everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. If God says He will be with us, then He will be with us. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe the promise of God to His child? There in Hebrews chapter 10, the apostle speaks to this in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Then there's these words in parenthesis: for He is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. You know, you'll meet people in everyday life who will promise you the earth. They'll promise you all kinds of things. You even get that with tradesmen, don't you? Oh, I'll be there at such and such a time. The date is set. The time is set. And the time comes and the date comes. No show. You're thinking, well, that guy's word isn't worth much. And you get that in all walks of life and in every kind of situation. People that will promise you the earth and deliver nothing. Well, we don't serve a God like that. When God says that He'll do something, He will do what He says He will do. Always. He always keeps His word. Every promise of God is true. Every promise of God is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. All the promises will be kept. David Livingstone, who went as a missionary to Africa, had a favorite text, at least one of his favorite texts. It was Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, part of the Great Commission, where the Lord said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And it was said of Livingstone that in the margin of his little Bible that he carried with him everywhere, he used to have written beside those words, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." It is the word of a gentleman of the truest kind. It's the word of a gentleman of the truest kind. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, "Lo, I am with you always. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." This word "surely" has also been translated "only." And I like that. Only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, but brother, you don't understand. There are things that have happened in my life that were not good. And I don't think they were merciful. Can I just tell you that everything that happens to the believer is rooted in God's goodness and in God's mercy? Even the chastisements, even the difficulties, even the hardships. Everything that's sent from our Father is sent to us in love. Spurgeon used to say, sometimes God's sweetest messages are sent to us in the blackest envelopes. Yeah, we don't expect it to be a nice message. But it's from God. And if it's from God, it has no end in view but your good and His glory. Romans 8 verse 28 might be looked upon by some people as just a cliche, but I want to tell you, it's a godly cliche. It's a great word, and it's a word that you can stand upon. The man of God said this, and we know. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. But brother, you don't understand. This happened in my life. That happened in my life. How could that be for my good? Well, because God says it. God says it. And if God says it, we should believe it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, we might not see it today, and everything that we understand might militate against that and might cause us to think that it's not true. But sometime, someday, we'll understand. When we see things from the heavenly perspective as God sees them, I believe we will understand why sometimes there were clouds instead of sun. We'll understand sometime, somewhere, as the hymn says, we'll understand. And that same hymn says, then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for He doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime, sometime, we'll understand. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let us believe that even when it appears not to be true. Because surely it will always be so. And that goodness and that mercy will not only follow us all the days of our lives, but on out into eternity. Because forever, as we shall see in the next message, we're going to enjoy the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. Because that's all that we will know when we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is this your assurance? Is He your shepherd? Can you honestly say today that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord to length of days forever? If you don't know the Lord, may you come to know Him today, so that you'll be able to say with the psalmist, with all assurance, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.